Sustainable You Podcast would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands on which we record our podcast, the Wurundjeri and Boon Wurrung people of the Kulin Nation. We recognise Aboriginal people's enduring connection to land, waters and culture and pay our deep respects to elders past and present, extending that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander cultures.
Welcome to the Sustainable You podcast with your hosts Jackie Kidman and Lisa Wisdom, self-proclaimed urban hippies, waste warriors and passionate women. Tune in for practical information and inspiration on how to reduce your impact on the environment and become a more sustainable you.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Sustainable You podcast. This week we have a guest on. Some of you may have heard of a thing called the Bread Tag Project. I know that I've seen it on the social media platforms on Facebook and Instagram. It's such an amazing concept where you send your bread tags that you get off the little plastic bread tags that you get off your loaves of bread, and you send them to her, and then she creates these beautiful art installations. So, without further ado, I want to welcome Shaney.
Thank you.
To the podcast. I would just love you to tell us who you are and what it is that you do.
So the Bread Tag Project, well, it started because, I've got a visual arts degree. I've always been an arty, farty person, so that's just always been part of my life. I studied a BAVA. I majored in photography and plant and wildlife illustration, and so I've always done art, and then I became a teacher. For my art practice, fell away during that time, but I was still creating. I was still putting things in exhibitions. I started gardening. I made a beautiful home for my family, all that kind of stuff. And then I revisited my art practice because of personal reasons. I realized I would never just be happy just teaching. I had to go back to doing art. So started getting back into art, and I started up my art business called Rare Pear Studio, which mainly does illustration and watercolor commissions, collaborations, that kind of thing. That was in the beginning of the early days of Instagram, when there was a lot more, I think, play and exploration and mucking about. It wasn't as edited as what Instagram is now. You know, like people now talk about your feed like a gallery, and it all is very cohesive and beautiful and stuff. When Instagram first started, it was a lot rawer, a lot fresher, and there was a lot more opportunity for just playing and experimenting. So during this time, I have a teenage son, and well, he's now 21, but he was a teenager then, and he used to eat copious amounts of bread, and that would involve lots of bread tags being taken off the bread. And of course, being a slack-ass teenager, he'd just leave the bread tags all over the place. So I was like constantly picking up these bread tags, and I was putting them in a little container.
Oh my God, yes, that is me.
I don't know why I didn't just throw them out. One of the things I've discovered during this project is there seems to be a hell of a lot of people like me who pick them up and put them in something, and suddenly they have a collection of bread tags and they don't even know why they have them. They just do it automatically. Mm. So I had this little box with bread tags. Anyway, one day I was looking at them and I thought, wow, they're actually quite pretty, those colours. Mm. You know, like they're actually quite interesting. And I thought, oh, I could probably do something creative with those. So I took the few bread tags down that I had and I made a little simple picture with them, almost like they were mosaic tiles. And I was like, yeah, that was really fun. That's really cool. And I got a really good reaction on Instagram. Lots of people saying, wow, this is really interesting what you're doing. You know, you're so creative. You can do amazing things. And I was like, oh, yeah. My husband just calls it collecting shit. But, you know, like it happened. And then, I don't know, I was doing that thing where I was having that one of those crisis moments that creatives have where you think, oh, I'm just like everybody else, you know, what's different about me, you know, I'm not that unique or special, you know, what do I do that's special? I think I might have said it aloud and my husband said, well, you're very special, don't worry about that. But, you know, those bread tag things are kind of cool. And I thought, oh, yeah, maybe I should do more of those. And then I thought, okay, hold on a second. you've done this before, Shani, where you've thought you're really unique and individual, and then you've looked on Pinterest and found out that actually everyone's been doing this for years. It happened with book folding, and it happened with painting with tea bags and, you know, altered books and things. I think I had an idea that was original, and then I'd go, actually not so much. So I Googled and looked on Pinterest for bread tag pictures and realized that there was actually nobody doing anything like that. And I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. So that sort of piqued my interest. And so I started thinking, okay, I should do more of those. So as part of that adventure of starting to get ready to make some more of those, I thought, okay, I need to know what colours I can get, what colours I can use, because I became aware that they had different colours. And why are they different colours? So that kind of student research part of me, that need to know, that curiosity, that innate curiosity kind of kicked in. And I started Googling, and I kind of end up becoming a bit distressed, because instead of just finding out about what colours you could get and why they are the colours they are and stuff, what seemed to come up a lot was that the plastic they made of is not recyclable or not easily recyclable, and that they're made of really bad plastic. And I was thinking, wow, I had no idea that this they were like this. And I started thinking, if one family can gather this many bread tags in such a small amount of time, imagine how many are actually out there. And they're single use. We use them once and then throw them away. And I thought, wow, this is actually pretty bad. And I come from a family that cares about the environment. My parents took us camping, and they're the car that's got the World Wildlife stickers and Save the Rainforest and everything on their cars. So we've grown up being environmentally conscious and aware. So I guess that part started to tick off. So I went down that rabbit hole of reading and researching and stuff. And I thought, okay, you know what I should do? Rather than just make pretty funny, cute pictures, maybe I can use this to tell people a story, to tell them the story of these bread tags and the single-use plastics. So I started doing images and stuff with the bread tags and putting out a few messages and things. And it was pretty slow at first, and I used to get a lot of eye rolls at the schools I teach at, because I teach like one day a week at small schools. And I would ask friends and family, and I'd, you know, request bread tags, and people thought I was just, oh, you know, she's an arty-farty type, that's what she does, weird stuff, and they'd sort of laugh. But then War on Waste happened on the ABC with Craig Rucastle, and sort of that changed the conversation. People suddenly started to become aware, and that was around the time I think there were some other people who were talking about plastic straws and single-use plastic straws. So, and it elevated all that whole problem into people's minds a little more. And it went from being something where people were like, you're just strange, to, oh, my God, I get what you're trying to say. So thank you, War on Waste. It really helped. And the trickle started to become less of a trickle and more of a, at time, not a torrent, but there's a constant supply of bread tags now that come to me all the time. And then as that started to happen, I thought, okay, I can't just say to people, save your bread tags and send them to me to make artworks. I have to justify this. I have to have a reason for this. I have to investigate how I can make this a closed loop situation. And that's when I started thinking, okay, I'm an educator, I'm a teacher, I've been doing this for years. I can use these to educate not just grown-ups but children, because I think they're the future, obviously. And there's been a lot said about if we can educate children and show children they actually are good at educating their families. There's a really good book called I'm looking at it now, How to Talk About Climate Change by Rebecca Huntley.
Oh, yeah, I've read that one.
It's a really good book.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
And there's a whole chapter in it about getting children to talk to their family and how that can be really powerful.
Yeah.
So I formulated lessons with them as like in the key learning areas. Like in maths, you can use them to look at the data that's written on them, like the information that's printed on tags. You can look at, you can say you've got a collection of them, you can put them out, you can use them to make like picture graphs and say, okay, which colours are most common and which shapes are most common? So you start to talk about commonality and you start to talk about characteristics and the morphology and the taxonomy of the bread tag, so the different shapes. So it's, you're teaching the kids to look for really little small elements so they become really mindful and really observant. So that's kind of like science. That's the classification thing you can do with them. So you can do maths and science, and then for English you can do like different types of text types, use them as a jumping off point to write different things. So you could write an information report about them. You could write about things you could do with them and create with them. And then, of course, with art, we use them to create art. But it's a really good, they're a really good way of getting the whole conversation around pollution and single-use plastics and climate change started, because kids get very anxious. You know, like they're very actually aware of climate change and stuff, especially around the time of the bushfires and things. Like kids get very anxious. They absorb all that. Because the bread tags are a very common, everyday, mundane object and they're colourful, and you can touch them and hold them, so that kinesthetic thing of being able to be concrete operational where they can hold them and see them and touch them, it's a very good low anxiety way of bringing up some of those ideas and just getting a conversation with the kids happening. So I started looking at other things I could do with bread tags to get people's attention. Other creatives started sending me pictures and things of things that they'd made, either using bread tags or inspired by bread tags. Because I'm an illustrator, I'm part of lots of other groups online with other creatives, and they were starting to send me stuff. And I was like, wow, this is really starting to take off. And then schools would send me artworks that kids had made using bread tags, and preschools would send me pictures. And I'm like, okay, I have to honour all this work that people are doing, and I really have to start thinking about how I'm going to honour that and use this to help send out a message. So I'm in the process of writing a book using these things that I would like to put in the book as well. I look at the book as just another platform to get that information out there. It's just another platform, another way of talking, another way of starting conversation. It's got to be aesthetically beautiful as well. It has to be interesting. It has to be something that I don't want it to be negative. I want it to be like positive and uplifting, so that it gives solutions and hope and positivity. I don't want to pound people over the head with, isn't this terrible, isn't this terrible, isn't this terrible? Because I think there's lots of good stuff happening out there. And then, yeah, little things keep happening along the way. So ACARA, who's the Australian Curriculum and Research Association, they contacted me about using the Bread Tag Project as part of the curriculum. So that's been lovely. So that's now in their portfolio of stuff. Once I started to get enough bread tags, I had to start thinking about what I was going to do with them as far as creatively. And I realized, so when you're creating an artwork or an installation or something, you know, you have to look at what it is, the concept of what it is you're trying to achieve. And I realized very early on I needed to show mass. I needed to show volume about how one little bread tag doesn't seem like much, but when you had another one and another one and another one, that mass of plastic waste very quickly builds up, and it goes from being a little bit to becoming a lot. So it's that idea of volume means that I have to have lots of bread tags, and I have to convey that somehow. But because I want a closed loop thing and I don't want these going to landfill when my project's finished, I had to start thinking what's going to happen to all these things. So I was doing research. There's a charity called, I think it's Tags for Wheelchairs, I think Tags for Wheelchairs, and they collect bread tags too. And I've talked to them and said, look, at the end of my project, I'm going to have a ton load of bread tags. Are you happy to have these donated to you so that they can pass them on to a man and his wife in Robe in South Australia called Transmutation, I think it is.
Cool.
They have like a home-based business where they actually recycle the bread tags and make them into products, and then they sell them. That's how they make their living. I think they sell through Country Road and some really good retailers. So they use loads of bread tags and they turn them into the bowls and platters and things. So they're made into product and they're not given to landfill. The money that the Wheelchair Project people get from selling them, they use that money to send to South Africa to buy wheelchairs for people. So by me being in collaboration sort of thing with them, it means that I know that my bread tags are going to be given to them. They will be, the money will be used for charity, and the bread tags will go to be made into something and sent out of landfill. So it becomes sort of more a closed loop thing. So that makes me very happy, knowing that there is a story that will keep going round and round and round, because I have a love-hate relationship with bread tags. I don't want to keep these in my house forever. Once the project is done, I want them to serve another good purpose. So I try to say to people, when they send their bread tags to me, they're doing lots of good things. They'll be used for art and education. Amazing. And then they'll be used for charity, and then they'll be repurposed into product as well. So they go from having a single use, holding a bit of bread, plastic closed, and then thrown in the bin and going to landfill. So instead of that happening, they have a whole other life instead. I'm working with the idea that bread tags will become extinct, as we are starting to see, which is fantastic. I don't know if you've seen in South Australia and in Tasmania, there are some bakeries that are starting to use cardboard bread
tags. Yeah, I've seen those, the cardboard ones. Yeah.
It's brilliant. And that's because of grassroots, because I've written to all these guys, the Tip Top. There's so much in this project that people don't see. Mm-hmm. Like, there's the visual stuff on the social media, but I spend hours and hours writing to people and networking with other creatives and with bread tag companies. So it's good business for them to stop making plastic bread tags. So it's like, I don't care if it's greenwashing. Like, at least it's happening. It's doing what it needs to do.
I'm curious about that. I can hear through your story, which is amazing, that what sort of started as a creative opportunity that you found had, you'd kind of gone through that thinking process and several iterations of that, like, to be aware of like what the actual problem is behind their existence in the first place, but that you then went to like utilizing the educational opportunities and as well as like getting the word out there in a bigger way. Is it just that you're a creative person and that's what you know that steered you towards taking it in that direction, or have you done more advocation work around asking for them not to be created and produced in the first place?
I have, in my emails to the companies, I've had to introduce myself and I'm being honest with them when I say I'm trying to get you guys not to close down, but to realize, you know, there's a whole awareness campaign that's happening with single-use plastics. Can you tell me what you're doing to address these issues? I think you've got to be open. You've got to have an open dialogue. I can't be sneaky about it. I mean, I want to cooperate with these people. There's no point them putting the shutters down. And I've found you attract more. What's the saying? You attract more flies with honey than you do with vinegar. I'm very open about what I am doing when I've talked to these companies or emailed these companies. And most of them actually are pretty... Sometimes I come back with weird things like, well, we're saving food wastage, and that's a good thing. So they justify the plastic tags. My favourite things is seeing families get involved, and I get pictures sent to me of kids sorting out the tags and kids who will go, look, I found a bread tag, Mum, you know, and I'm like, that makes me feel like that's a win. You know, that's just little tiny things that build up, like bread tags themselves, little actions that build up to become something bigger. And I'm thinking, okay, what I'd like to do is try to get the world's most comprehensive collection of bread tags before they become extinct, like they're an endangered species kind of thing. So one of the reasons I sort through every package that I get meticulously is you never know when you're going to find a rare colour or a rare design or a rare style or an old vintage one or something or an interesting date. So I go through every single package. I don't have much of a life, obviously. There's not a lot of things to do out here in the country.
Oh, my God, that sounds so intense.
we've been,
every bread tag you get.
Oh, it's nuts. God. It's absolutely nuts. So the Doomsday Collection is, the world's largest, most comprehensive collection of bread tags, hoping that they will become extinct. And what I think of is this era of time is called the Anthropocene, which is worth Googling, and that's about the time when humans have had so much influence on their environment. So I think of the bread tag as being not a bread tag but an artifact, a human artifact of this time, of the plastic era, of the Anthropocene era, of a time when we didn't value and didn't care as much about what we were doing. And so I think of it as a collection of human artifacts that people will look back on and go, wow, look at when they didn't value. Look at how things have changed. So the Bread Tag Project itself was supposed to be just about bread tags, but what's happened is the project has become a story in itself in that I have all these people telling me stories about bread tags, and it's actually quite bizarre. People ask me what it is that keeps me going with the project because it's taken up so many hours and so much time and actually lots of money and resources on my behalf. And I get no financial reward from it at all. And it's the stories.
I was going to ask that.
Yeah, I ask that myself a lot. My husband, I'm sure, does too. But, I get letters from people. I get notes from kids. I get things that say, what you're doing matters. And that, maybe it's narcissistic of me to need that validation to keep going. But it's that kind of validation and feeling like you're doing something that makes you keep doing it. Like you get cute little things sent to you by kids and you go, it's actually working. It's doing what it's supposed to do. And so that makes you keep going. And then you get stories like one of the first stories that really touched me was a lady whose partner had terminal cancer and he knew he was going to pass away. And he said to her, I'm going to hide bread tags. I don't know why bread tags, maybe he really liked bread, I don't know. But he said, I'm going to hide bread tags in all sorts of strange little places. And every time you find one, even after I've gone, and this is me starting to get emotional, I want you to remember how much I loved you in those everyday moments, in everyday places, I loved you. And she said, this is years later, she still finds bread tags in books that she opens up or on a shelf or something or behind somewhere, and she just instantly thinks of him. So for her, a bread tag is a reminder of his love. And so stories like that just make me, go all funny in the tummy.
Shani, wow. Amazing.
Shani, I'm really interested for you to tell us where people can find your work. Where can we see the results of these beautiful creations?
Yeah, the whole reason you do it is to get the message out there. So so I have a Facebook page called The Bread Tag Project. There is the Instagram feed of The Bread Tag Project. So they're obviously online all the time. I just won my section at Bathurst. There's a waste to art recycle. Lots of it happens all over New South Wales. Unfortunately, where I live in Cowra, they didn't have a section for grown-ups. They only had a section for children. But Bathurst Council invited me to submit my work over to there, and I won two sections of the waste to art, which was lovely. And one of those was the big installation that I've been working on for many, many, many months. It won its division. So it's now, as in this weekend, they're having the grand opening in Coonamble at the Outback Arts Gallery, and that's part of the regional finalists. So that's on exhibition there for the next 3 months. There have been some other exhibitions that were supposed to be in, but because of COVID, a lot of things have been closed down or postponed, which makes it does make it really hard to exhibit things at the moment. There's just so much uncertainty around exhibition spaces and public places and things. So there's a few things, other galleries and things in the works, but of course they're penciled in depending on what happens with COVID. So probably at the moment most of the stuff is just available online to have a look at.
I recall a conversation that Lisa and I had a while ago saying that artists and creatives are the ones who tend to have the most impact when it comes to like change around climate change and the climate movement as well. And I truly believe that you are one of those. So we thank you very much for all the effort and all the hours that you put into this that started off as something just so, so small that you've just evolved and the schools and the lives and the people that you've impacted and touched is phenomenal. You should be really, really proud of what you've created. Thank you so much for being a guest on our podcast. Now, we just like to wrap it up. If you could give any of our Sustainable You podcast community one tip around sustainability, what would that be?
Buy the best you can and just reuse it. Stop buying cheap shit from Kmart and cheap clothing and cheap throwaway disposable things. Look at things as an investment in yourself. In your house, in your home, buy the best you can afford, the best quality you can afford, and look after it. And as I say, step away, try to step away from all those disposable, cheap and nasty things that might give you that instant lovely retail feeling when you buy it. And it's not good for the environment. It's not good for the soul, I don't think. I think everyone, you can... buy secondhand. I'm a really big advocate of buying secondhand or things that have a history, stopping things from going to landfill and filling your home and your life with things that have a story rather than just bought off the shelf for a couple of dollars for that instant dopamine hit.
So thank you again for your time. We might wrap it up there.
Thank you for the opportunity. I actually really appreciate being able to talk to people and get the message out there because it's just another way of letting people know. So thank you very much for what you do and getting the message out. It's really, really important, opening up that space for dialogue. So thank you very much for inviting me and well done to you guys too.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Sustainable You can be found on Instagram at Sustainable You Pod, on Facebook at Sustainable You Podcast, or connect via email at sustainableyoupod@gmail.com. Episodes are created by Lisa and Jackie. If you appreciate the podcasting information shared, please like, subscribe, and share. If you are listening on iTunes, Jackie and Lisa would appreciate you giving them a 5-star rating and writing a review to help other people find their podcast.